You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Tuesday, the 3rd of September. Join the team in the studio throughout the day. Racing Radio is going to get underway at 1:50pm. Listen online or via the William Hill app. We've got action coming up from Catterick, from Goodwood, from Kempton, from Salisbury as well. So four meetings to look forward to. And you can hear tips and commentaries on the races themselves as well, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio throughout the afternoon. Here on the podcast, though, my name's John Gibby. Sean Quinn is alongside me. Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm all right, John. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Good to have you with us. And we're going to get some of your thoughts in terms of some selections for Tuesday's racing action in a little while. But we're going to start off, as we always do on the Tuesday Racing Podcast, with the Monday Jury, where we look back at the weekend, look ahead as well, with the questions that the Racing Post are asking their panel of pundits in the paper. We're going to ask Sean those very same questions. And we start off by looking back over the weekend, and we start off by asking about the Solario Stakes winner Positive. How taken were you with Positive Success?
Yeah, I think this is a very, very nice horse in the making. I was taken by it, despite him winning by a narrow margin, by only a nose. Speaking to Andy Holding, who I've been working on Racing Radio with on Monday, he said that the figures that he's got for the race are exceptional. As fast run Solario as he's had noted down in recent years, so there looks to be good strength in depth. Positive ran really well at Goodwood when finishing second behind Pinatubo. We've seen the form of that race has already been franked. He's gone on and franked it, winning this Group 3, and I wouldn't be surprised if he were able to go on to bigger and better things.
The next question concerns the winner of another race from over the weekend, the Atalanta Stakes. Lavender's Blue taking that race. What impact can Lavender's Blue make at the top level, Sean?
Well, she was something of a surprise winner, should we say, at Sandown over the weekend, because she was sent off a 12-1 poke, and she had plenty to prove, John. She was coming back in Trip to a Mile. She hadn't raced at this trip since winning her debut at Newmarket in the spring of this year. But it looked to suit her absolutely ideally. She ran no sort of race at all when last seen before this in the Epsom Oaks. She finished last, but clearly didn't stay that trip. Coming back to a mile, it was notable how powerfully she travelled through the race. The strong fancy in the race was the Sir Michael Stout train, Jubiloso. She led on the inside rail, and Jim Crowley was just able to stalk her throughout. And as she leaned off the rail, Lavender's Blue burst through a gap and was impressive in beating June Flower by a length and a half. Connections will be fully entitled to raise their sights. This was, of course, a Group 3. They'll be looking at Group 1 races, no doubt. She's entered in the Sun Chariot at Newmarket in early October. I see she's priced up with us at William Hill at 6-1. She was available at 33s before the weekend, so those odds were slashed dramatically. And sometimes the Sun Chariot is a Group 1 for fillies that cuts up, and I think Connections of Lavender's Blue will feel fully entitled to throw their hat in the ring for that.
And just touching on Jubiloso briefly, she seems quickly to be turning into a filly who frequently gets sent off short prices, disappoints for one reason or another, and a lot of excuses are made. Do you think she can be afforded too many more chances in these sorts of races?
I'd be happy to draw a line through this race myself. Simply because she ran a very good race when third in the Coronation Stakes. She was luckless at Glorious Goodwood when third in that fillies race won by Bills and Brook. And here, there were panic signs set out at quite an early stage, I thought, at the bottom of the straight with Jubiloso. And I think she clearly just had an off day. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sir Michael Stout's filly bounced back later in the autumn.
Well, talking more generally, who else has caught your eye from the top action over the last few days?
Yeah, I think it was a quieter weekend of racing, wasn't it? Not as much a top-class fare, but I did watch racing from the Curragh on Friday evening, and Lope Fernandez won the Round Tower Stakes, a 6-furlong group race for two-year-olds. He's another one to have come out of that glorious Goodwood race, which Pinatubo had won. Positive, of course, was second. Lope Fernandez had finished third in that, but he was dropping back to 6 furlongs for the first time, and that looked to suit him down to the ground. He travelled very powerfully, quickened away from his rivals, and won comfortably. And it wouldn't surprise you to see Aidan O'Brien stick to 6-furlong races. And look, he's won middle parks with horses that have similar profiles to Lope Fernandez. In the middle part of the season, they maybe started to look as if they weren't top-notchers, but he's a maestro trainer and gets them to peak at the right time. And maybe Lope Fernandez can build on that and gain big race honours later this year.
Looking ahead now, we've got Haydock's biggest flat race of the season coming up next Saturday, Sean, the Sprint Cup. Who's your fancy at this stage?
I think it's very hard to look beyond advertise. He's done so much right in his last two starts, winning the Commonwealth Cup, and then, of course, he was winner of the Maurice de Geest over in France last time out, beating Brando. He's a horse who I tend to think just does enough when he gets to the front as well, so it's hard to tell quite how good advertise is, but he won nicely last time out, and yes, he's going to be favourite, but deservedly so. I think he's very much the one to beat. Cardem's going to be interesting coming back up in trip. Coming back into group races, I should say, whereas 10 Sovereigns is the one who's coming back up in trip, having run in the Nunthorpe last night. 10 Sovereigns had the beating of Advertise when they met in the July Cup. It's going to be fascinating to see them two against each other again. But I just think that Advertise is on a roll, and he, in my eyes, is the one to beat.
Feels a tiny bit like 10 Sovereigns. I mean, you don't really want to question the way that Aidan O'Brien campaigns his horses, but 10 Sovereigns has not necessarily been benefited by the trips he's been running over more often than not this season.
Yeah, I think now having seen him run over a variety of trips up to a mile, the form book would say that 6 furlongs is his best trip.
Next up, we're looking ahead as well. We're talking again a little bit more generally. Give us one to watch out for over the next 7 days.
Yeah, I thought when posed with this question, I thought maybe put one up from our own yard, John. And we've a horse entered later in the week called Magna Moralia, who broke his maiden tag last time out at Beverley when winning a 7.5-furlong novice race. He's entered up in a couple of nurseries later this week, and of course, we won't get his handicap mark until Tuesday morning, so the podcast, this is being recorded Monday afternoon, but given what he's done, I don't think the handicapper can get too excited. And I do think he's a horse who will keep improving, and Magna Moralia hopefully can make his mark in handicap company before too long.
And finally, identify a horse to follow for the autumn and explain why.
Again, I'll put up one of our own, a horse called Cobra Eye, who won a maiden at Glorious Goodwood over 6 furlongs. He was declared to run in the Acomb Stakes then at York, and unfortunately just got a little setback on the day of the race and had to miss the race. So that was hugely frustrating, but yeah, that maiden form from Glorious Goodwood is working out very, very well. A number of horses have come out and franked it, and I think he's a horse who could win a good pot over 6 or 7 furlongs in the autumn.
Well, that's the Monday jury. Sean, thanks for your answers there. We're now going to look ahead to what's happening on Tuesday. As usual on the podcast, you picked out 2 selection trusts for the day's racing. So where's the first one going to run?
Yeah, I was a little bit torn as to what we should look at here, because we've got runners at Catchick ourselves, but they're in quite low-grade races, and there's good racing down in Goodwood. So I thought we'll look at some of the good racing, some valuable pots. The first of those is the 350. It's a filly's nursery worth over £15,000 to the winner. And we've got some fillies who've already competed against each other going head-to-head again, and I think they'll be at the top of the market. Rose of Kildare and Graceful Magic couldn't be separated on the 3rd of August when dead heating in a valuable filly's contest on the July course. Now, subsequently, A Graceful Magic has underperformed, and Rose of Kildare has arguably built on that when finishing third in a valuable nursery at the Ebor meeting. But as a result of that, Rose of Kildare is £11 higher than when they met at Newmarket, and Graceful Magic is only £6 higher, so enjoys a £5 pull. And I just think that'll be enough to see Eve Johnson Horton's charge come out on top here.
And what about your second pick, Sean?
Yeah, again, sticking to Goodwood, because there's another really decent pot. The 425, we might only have six runners, but it's a 0-105 2-mile contest, and I'm very, very sweet on the Max We Can here. This is a horse who won at Ascot two starts back, showing her an excellent attitude to beat Sleeping Lion by a length and a quarter. He dropped back in trip 10 days ago to 1.06. Again, ran really well to finish second at Newmarket behind Sarug. He was doing his best work late on, John, looking like he was screaming out for a return to further. No surprise to see the Johnson team stepping back up to 2 miles. This race looks weaker than his last race, and I think he's really, really solid in this staying contest.
Well, those are Sean's picks then, both at Goodwood on Tuesday. We've also got the action coming up, of course, from Kempton, Salisbury and Catterick as well. You can hear it all on Racing Radio. It's a 1:50 p.m. start. Please do join us then. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Sean, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.